If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Thanks for making last Friday's Housewives State of the Union episode with Brian Moylan our most listened to episode ever. It hasn't even been out for a week, but I'm so thrilled with the response to it. There are a bunch of new people here, and I'm so happy you're here and that you enjoyed that episode. Today would normally be an interview, but it's also been a while since I did a listener mailbag, so I figured now would be a good time to do one. I source these questions from Instagram and Twitter and Thread, so make sure to go follow the show at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram or me directly at Gib Sonoma on all social platforms if you want to submit questions for the next one, which I promise will be sooner rather than later. We got a bunch of good questions that touch on, obviously, the various Housewives franchises, but also Summer House, Married to Medicine, Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Winter House, and the Kate Middleton of it all. I'll start with the Kate stuff because it was the biggest non-Bravo subject that I got asked about, which naturally, it seems like it's the only thing people want to talk about these days when it comes to pop culture. And as some of the smartest articles that I've read about this scandal have argued, this is way more of a PR problem and tells us more about the state of the royals apparatus than it is something to actually be concerned about, at least from my point of view. I was asked by several people, Marissa, Julie, a couple others, for my thoughts on Kategate and Meghan's launch announcement. To me, Kategate is like winding down. I think, you know, TMZ published this video of her being spotted out with William and she was smiling and she was walking and they're together and she seems fine. And, you know, as planned, I'm sure she'll make her first public appearance around Easter. People still seem to not be buying it, which I think is more about like people wanting this to continue. It's been a fun sort of monocultural like conspiracy theory moment. And it was fun while it lasted. And I think it told us a lot about the current state of the royals and the people in and around the establishment. They mishandled this entire situation so poorly from a PR perspective, completely underestimated the life that this would take on, and proved that they aren't as adept at dealing with the way that like the modern gossip and the social media proliferation of that gossip works. The photo thing was a complete embarrassment from start to finish, and there were so many times that they could have just like nipped this in the bud and didn't. They could have just reminded people that they had announced ahead of the surgery initially that Kate would have a long recovery and reemerge around Easter. But for some reason, they inadvertently stoked the flames, didn't do that. As many people have pointed out, they have this mantra of never complain, never explain, which they went against several times during this whole controversy. And what's really rich about this whole thing is that with Kate, Charles, and Camilla out of commission, with William dropping out of engagements, they really could have used a spare to fill in for all their absences, which is something that they had and let slip right through their fingers. Which brings me to Meghan, who exhibited some iconic behavior when she made her long-awaited and rumored announcement of her new brand, American Riviera Orchard, which, okay, to me is a clunky name, I have to say. I am Team Meghan, but Why not just American Riviera or American Orchard or Riviera Orchard? Why American Riviera Orchard? It just feels like it's like a little clunky to me, but it's rumored that she's filming a cooking show for Netflix as part of this and wants to sell things like jams and mixes and kitchen products and whatever. I'm sure there will be a cookbook. It's basically like the Tig, which is her former lifestyle brand that she shut down when she started to get serious with Harry, but more elevated and sophisticated and curated. I'm sure it'll be a little less personal too. I think it's natural for her, and I think she should have done this sooner, honestly, before the podcast Archetypes, which I loved, by the way, and some of the other things that she was rumored to be working on that never came to be. All those things could have theoretically rolled up into this American Riviera Orchard brand, and it would have helped it all make a little more sense altogether and earlier. You know, they've obviously also taken a hit from a PR perspective too, but I think this was a little redemption moment, and I love that she honestly used the, you know, all the eyes on the royals at this moment because of the Kate stuff as a moment to announce all the way from California that, hey, I'm actually doing well. I'm building a business. I'm thriving and I'm unbothered by all this Kate shit. I think it was a perfect announcement. I hope she succeeds in whatever she has planned. And if you don't think I signed up for that waitlist right a fucking way, you're sorely mistaken. And then Netflix also yesterday released the trailer for a movie that's based on that kind of disastrous Prince Andrew interview that he did about all the Jeffrey Epstein ties. And they announced that, again, sort of at the height of the Kate stuff, when Twitter was like buzzing about some hashtag royal announcement that I don't think ever came to be. But again, these people are capitalizing on making these announcements, and those are examples of good PR moves. Okay, on to Bravo and Housewives and all that stuff. Kimberly on Twitter asks, do you think Housewives shows have peaked, or do they just need to change direction? Have we as viewers changed our mind about wanting to see backstabbing and fighting and want more kindness and friendships? Do you see a difference in what fans want? I mean, I don't think Housewives have peaked in the sense that there's no way for them to outdo themselves anymore. If the reality Von T's of it all, which was literally 2 months ago and was one of the most instantly iconic Housewives moments ever, if that taught us anything, it's that they still have the tricks up their sleeve. They still know how to surprise us. They still know how to shock us and deliver the unexpected. They can still prove that you can't write this shit. And they needed a moment like that at the time and they got it. So no, I don't think Housewives have peaked. It may feel like we're entering a dry spell of Housewives for the next several months and into the summer, because right now Potomac is the only one airing. It's winding down a lackluster season. Jersey premieres soon, which I think looks great. I'll talk about that a little later. And that will be the only Housewives on until Dubai premieres in June, which I've seen very few people actively excited for. So I'm sure that this sentiment will dominate like the Bravo focused social media feeds that we all have very soon. But ignore this cynicism, because that's just a result of the scheduling. Orange County and Salt Lake are filming. Roni is close to starting. They've apparently cast the show. Again, I'll talk about Roni a little bit later. Atlanta is casting, kind of an exciting semi-reboot, which I'm really excited for. I'm sure Miami will start again soon. I'm feeling optimistic about Housewives overall. And you can listen to my episode with Brian Moylan to get a more detailed overview about how I'm feeling. But to answer the second part of that question, no, I don't think viewers have changed their minds about wanting to see backstabbing and fighting, and instead just seeing kindness and friendships. I think people who think that are a little bit naive about what makes good reality TV. Yeah, in theory, like I'd love to feel like totally morally good about watching a show that's like all about kindness and friendships. But this isn't Queer Eye. You know, this is Real Housewives where, I guess Queer Eye is drama too, but this is Real Housewives where you have to have the balance of the fighting with the uplifting stuff, with the emotional stuff, with the funny stuff. So I do think that perhaps there are some people who would like to see more of that balance, and there isn't enough emphasis placed on the feel-good uplifting elements of Housewives. But whether we like it or not, it's not Housewives without conflict, without arguing, without drama. And that's ultimately what makes these shows. I do want to see the emotional, personal storylines and the moments of genuine friendship. Like, to me, that is what's missing from Potomac this season. That's what, to me, helps make Miami so great. And even more important than feel good, I think, is the humor. If you're just delivering intense, dark drama and fighting and aren't balancing it out with the humor and making the audience laugh, I think that is where you run into a bigger problem. I've always loved Potomac so much because of how much the women on that show make me laugh. And I haven't been laughing nearly enough while watching this season. That's a problem. And, you know, it's that Bravo wink that we always hear Andy talking about. That's the X factor of these shows, really. And they can never abandon that. And or a season without that just isn't going to work. So you know, we're always going to have the backstabbing. We're always going to have the fighting. And if you feel an issue with that, I think that more is more about like your own feelings of morality while watching reality TV. I'm completely fine with it because I think that people know that that's part of the deal. But I get what you're saying. I really do. But ultimately, like, you got to have the fighting and the drama to make these shows work. Okay, John on Instagram asks, what do you think is happening with the new seasons of Beverly Hills and Miami casting-wise? Marissa also asked about the future of Beverly Hills, saying that it's feeling dull. Max on Instagram asked if there's a reboot needed for Beverly Hills. Okay, so I'll start with Miami. My guess is that Miami will remain more or less the same. They've had three perfect seasons with the same unchanging cast. And in my mind, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I wouldn't hate it if they swapped in a new face. Like, for example, I think Marisol plays her role and has delivered some great moments over the years. But to me, she's the only friend of who I think could conceivably be cut out of the group just to give us that slight change. Like, I wouldn't protest Kiki or Adriana being upgraded to full time, but I also think that fans kind of place undue emphasis on that occasionally. So I don't think it's necessarily essential to keeping the show good to make that happen. I mean, but Kiki really did step it up this season, and I think it would generate a lot of goodwill if they promoted her now. She's gotten so much confidence from how she's been received this season, so I'd love to see that continue. But ultimately, I really wouldn't change Miami drastically at all. Beverly Hills, on the other hand, is definitely trickier. You know, I do think they could keep it more or less the same, and I would still enjoy it more than others seem to be enjoying it. My hope is that Kyle got a lot of the sort of negative emotions, the heartbreak out of her system with the Mo stuff, and that next season can be more about like building whatever this new life looks like for her if they do get divorced. I hope that she has more clarity on like who she is and what she wants and can celebrate that in a positive way. I think it would make for a better viewing experience, honestly. She seemed to sort of be getting there at the end of the reunion, especially when she was talking about Morgan, and she was unsure about those feelings. She was unsure about what it all means, but at least she was like acknowledging it for the first time and showing us that she was really thinking through it. Erica, to me, is totally necessary, as are Sutton and Garcelle. All three of them aren't afraid to ask the questions that are the elephants in the room to stir up drama, and we need that. Crystal, in my opinion, really came into her own in the back half of the season, so I would also love to see her stick around and continue to capitalize on that momentum. And I wouldn't hate it if we put Dorit on pause and, to me, obviously let go of Anna Marie, which would open up some space for some fresh personalities to change it up just enough. Like, I don't think Beverly Hills needs a full reboot at all. I think that's totally dramatic. It's still, I think, the highest rated Housewives that we have. But it could use another injection of like stunt casting, I think, a la Garcelle and Denise and Rinna, people that we know or don't know on a personal level necessarily, or maybe we forgot about them. I would love for them to do another one of those kind of castings. And I think it would generate a lot more excitement again about Beverly Hills. But to be honest, I don't need Kathy back. I don't know. I don't know if I'm in the minority or the majority on that, honestly. You know, I wouldn't be against her being a friend of again, but I don't know, like something about her joining the reunion after not being on the show at all this season just like wasn't a good sign to me. Like, I didn't love the feeling that it gave me. And I loved Kathy on those two seasons of Beverly Hills, but something about this reunion thing was like weird to me. And it kind of felt like going backwards, and it felt unearned, honestly. Like they know that Kathy is such a fan favorite generally. And so they like brought her in because they were scared there wasn't going to be enough, or maybe they wanted to kind of go at Kyle from another angle and bring some of that truth out of her from the angle of Kathy asking her about it. It just felt a little weird to me. Nick asks on Threads, I'm really curious what you think about a next season of Summer House and what it could look like. Give us that prediction. This is also a tough one. I mean, the season has been so, so good so far. It's really its best season in years. It's really like delicious balance of fun, uplifting party vibes, and also obviously intense drama coming from the Lindsay and Carl stuff, the Amanda and Kyle stuff. I mean, West and Jesse are just what the show needed. And I love that the girls don't have drama that's like dividing the entire house. That's kind of the key to the show, I'm realizing, is like the drama should be between a few people, but not the entire house. So like with Danielle and Lindsay's stuff last season, it really tore the house open in a really negative way. And this year feels different because a lot of the Lindsay Carl stuff is like happening in their room or happening on these car rides, which I'm really unsure why they aren't being filmed, but I think that's the biggest like detriment to the season is that we've had two instances in like four episodes where the central storyline of the season, which is going to be Carl and Lindsay's breakup. The two biggest first fights they've had on this season were not filmed for some reason. To me, that's like inexcusable, but otherwise the season has been amazing. But yeah, so like Carl and Lindsay's stuff and also Kyle and Amanda's stuff is really happening in their bedrooms. It's happening between them. They might like be confiding in a friend or two about it. And people might be like overhearing them yelling or whatever, but ultimately it's not like dividing the house, at least not yet, which I think is a huge positive of the show. And it's really key making it a balanced season to make sure there's still fun vibes in the house overall, because ultimately a negative season of Summer House is not a good season of Summer House. All that being said, you know, I'm guessing we'll get another ugly reunion, honestly, with the Carl and Lindsay stuff and how it's all going to come to a head, which I think is ultimately going to push people onto different sides, at least to a certain extent as it pertains to this particular issue. And that makes envisioning next season really tough. So there's a lot that could affect how it looks, right? Since there's so much left in this season, we're only like 4 episodes in, but I do envision it being more or less the same cast, honestly. But I think that it would be the last time this cast looks like this. So my prediction is next season, season 9, could be the last that we see of Lindsay, Carl, and perhaps Kyle and Danielle on Summer House in its current form. So, and maybe this is totally wishful thinking, but then I think that we should get a new spinoff of Summer House, a la The Valley, where we follow their lives in the city as they settle into relationships, have children, or just like continue to grow their careers and date around and buy apartments and all these really like more adult things. Because I think that like, you know, on Vanderpump Rules, one of the part of the DNA of that show is that these people are adults, but like they act like children or they act immature and they're really messy and all these things. And I think The Valley is sort of like acknowledging that they have actually grown up and that they're starting families. And to me, I think that maybe even like, I mean, I'm not that excited for The Valley, but I do think that some of the people from Vanderpump Rules might graduate into that show. And I think they could do the same thing for Summer House. Don't center it on their lives in the summer. They all live in the city. They all live like exciting lives. So like, why not follow that? And then, you know, on the flip side, I don't really want to say goodbye to any of these people on my TVs, but I do think that the way the cast is gelling right now is a really incredible opportunity for them to partially reboot the show around Paige and West and Sierra and Jesse and whoever else. Who knows how realistic that is, but right now that's sort of like what my gut tells me should happen. It gives them one more season to hopefully like send off that core four who really built this show. They really did. Whether you like them or not, like the show would not be the show without them, but they would send them off in a positive way. And then it would like metaphorically and literally sort of like hand over the keys to like the next era of the show. And then it also gives us an opportunity to follow the next stages of their lives and keep them on Bravo. So that's kind of simultaneously my prediction, my hopeful prediction, and what I would really like to see. I think it makes a lot of sense. Hannah on Instagram asks for my thoughts on the Real Housewives of New Jersey trailer. I loved it, honestly. Like, I was one of those people who was saying I couldn't possibly see them being able to bring back Teresa and Melissa after the last reunion and have the show not continue to be about their feud. Like, it was hard to envision a future of the show after that, like, really dark reunion where they could just coexist and not yell at each other all the time. But honestly, the trailer indicates that I'm wrong, and I'm very pleasantly surprised. Like, I think they're both crucial to the show, but clearly the injection of the Fudas and Danielle really seems to be paying off. Like, they seem to be stepping it up big time. The Fudas going after Tree and Louie looks genuinely incredible. It's very ballsy of them. And I'm deeply intrigued by Jackie jumping ship Margaret and Melissa to Teresa. I love seeing Jen Fessler getting seemingly more in the mix. Like, I don't know, it just seems exciting. Dolores seems to continue to play the middle, which doesn't bother me at all because it feels to me like that's authentically who she is. Like, she is somebody who can play both sides and be friends with everybody. And I know that a lot of viewers think it makes her look wishy-washy and unloyal or whatever they want to say about her. But I actually think that that's just like naturally who Dolores is. And I have zero problem with that. So I'm excited for the New Jersey season. I think the trailer is great. It got me excited about it. And that's what a trailer should do. So hats off for the trailer. Pleasantly surprised. Next season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Bring it on. Okay, Anthony on Instagram wants my honest opinion about how Phaedra was on Married to Medicine. Okay, so I loved the idea and I loved how it started. Phaedra and Quad were genuinely a fun pair. They pulled off like some hilarious stunts together, like the funeral thing, like bringing Quad to Sweet T's bachelorette party was iconic when she walked in and kind of rejoined the group that way. And I enjoyed their friendship. But then when Phaedra like dropped Quad, when the rest of the cast decided they didn't want her on the show, didn't want her on that trip to wine country, it immediately started to not work with Phaedra and also with the show overall. Like the back half of the season of Married to Medicine, I don't think was very good. I don't think it was bad, but it lacked something. Everything was lacking to me. And like, I don't really remember that many memorable moments from the second half of the season. And, you know, Phaedra pulled back immensely at that time and she barely talked at group dinners. Like it made her feel like she was on an island from everybody. Whereas like when Quad was there, there was some sort of connection. There was some sort of bridge, even though Quad was fractured from the cast as well. She still had Heavenly. And I actually think that Heavenly dropping Quad was also part of this. But I do think that there is potential for this to be changed. So like Quad has had an amazing reunion performance. She's shown a big willingness to apologize and own some of what she contributed to this fracture, you know, and her and Phaedra are seemingly like willing to be open to a reconciliation. So I hope that like with Quad's help, with Heavenly locked back in with Quad, that Phaedra could come alive in a second season on Married to Medicine. I really do. But I also think that like, you know, she obviously popped on girls trip at Dorinda's house. We don't really know how she was on the Morocco girls trip because who knows if we'll ever see that. She obviously popped on The Traitors, like she stole the show on that show. But the difference is that those shows aren't about her or her life directly. She can exist on those shows as part of an ensemble character, and she can like give us the one-liners and throw shade, but she doesn't have to talk about her life. And she can have boundaries. And on a show like Married to Medicine, you have to be extremely open and vulnerable with your life, which perhaps I think contributed to Phaedra's like reticence to be locked in with this group. Because this group has shown like they kind of therapize everything. They unpack things. They want to talk about your relationships and intimate details about your life. And I think that she seemed to like want to protect elements of her life. Like, you know, she was allegedly dating this doctor who we never heard about. And then they broke up and then she started dating another one that we never heard about. You know, we didn't hear about Apollo all season. Then he came to the reunion as like a surprise guest that I don't think really worked. Like that was weird to me. And I sensed that she was hesitant to truly just open up her life again. And I think that contributed to her not really working on this season of Married to Medicine fully. Anyway, I think she's going to have to open up her life if she wants to not only get another season, but then get another one after that. Like if she really wants this to work on Married to Medicine, or if she wants a chance to jump back into Atlanta, honestly, at some point where the women would absolutely hold her feet to the fire and like make her share things, then she's going to have to open up a little bit more. Because I'm so happy to have Phaedra back on our screen. She's been such a joy on some of these other shows. And she wasn't like, you know, bad on Married to Medicine. I just don't think it totally clicked yet. You know, Heavenly said on her YouTube show, apparently, that everyone got asked back. Everyone got in contracts for next season. So I honestly hope that's true. I would love to see this exact same cast with Quad locked in from the beginning. And also, as we know, her problem is like not being in touch outside of the show. So I hope she's doing that right now. I hope that her and Phaedra are on good terms. And I don't know, I feel good about it. I just think that there was a hesitance there that I think is because of like, again, like her life being a little bit more of a mystery, but maybe that's just projection. I don't know. Brianna on Twitter wants to know what my most controversial Bravo opinion is. I mean, something that I've been feeling more and more against the grain on around Bravo and Housewives is this constant refrain online of who should be fired, when and why. A lot of it's based on like problematic stuff or political things. And yes, I think if somebody really, really crosses the line and does something like really racist or commits a really bad crime or does something that's like just like objectively reprehensible and kind of big, yes, I think their time on the show should be done because there's something to be said about not platforming somebody like that. Like Kelly Dodd is an example of that to me. I'm glad she's not on the show anymore, even though she was good TV when she was on the show. There's this sort of like moral policing of cast members that happens when they do something relatively ill-advised or controversial and, you know, people reject that person like right away and they call for them to be fired and saying they shouldn't be on TV. But I do think people need to like take a step back and realize that if you had a cast of completely like perfect, completely liberal, completely I don't know. I think that like that would, you have to realize that would result in like a bad television show. I really think that. Like, I am very liberal and I'm very much of that ministry, but I don't expect all my housewives to share my same beliefs and to share like complete similarities with like how I view the world or what have you. Like, do I lose respect for some of the people when I find out certain things about them? Of course I do. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be on the show. I really think that. Like, I do kind of appreciate the element of like being exposed to a different kind of person with different kind of beliefs sometimes to, again, to a certain extent on these shows. Listen, if they aren't using their platform on Bravo or their big social media followings to advocate for problematic issues or problematic views, then I don't think it's a viable thing. I don't think it's a thing that should be have them kicked off the show. I really don't. Connor on Instagram asked me to cast Winterhouse season 4. He notes that I can include Housewives if I want chaos. So first of all, Winterhouse has been put on pause. So TBD on if we even get a fourth season of Winterhouse. But I actually wouldn't add Housewives to this because to me, the biggest utility that Winterhouse serves for Bravo is as sort of like a storyline feeder to the other more important shows. So like Sierra and Austin come to mind as the best example of that because their romance, they're like really kind of messy back and forth. Will they, won't they, what are they kind of romance that they had that bled into Summer House, that bled into Southern Charm. I think that bled into the next season of Winterhouse. I think it's best used for that. And because of that, I think that it should really focus on the Summer House, Southern Charm, maybe Vanderpump Rules, maybe with a couple of people sprinkled in from other shows. But like ultimately, I really think it's for those shows in the best season of Winter House that really kind of helped make for good seasons of, again, the bigger shows. So, you know, I think one of the things that weighed this past season of Winter House down was like there were just too many people coming in and out at all times, which made those storylines like unable to form. And like there were too many Below Deck people who felt sort of out of the Southern House rules universe or whatever it's called, you know. So like a season 4 of Winterhouse, like I'd love to see them throw in West and Sierra, throw in Sam for a redemption season test, and then put her on Summer House if it goes well with Corey not in the picture. Throw in Olivia Flowers, Vanita, JT. Again, I'm not really sure if somebody from Pump Rules would really work. Like nobody really comes to mind. Yeah, that's how I view Winterhouse. Like I don't see it as like a place to like, I think if you put Housewives in there, it nearly would break the vortex. You know what I mean? Like even seeing like Jason's a minor character, so I don't really care about this, but like Jason was on Potomac like for a scene or two, and it just like that feels almost like too mixy matchy, I think, in terms of shows. Okay, JD on Instagram asks, why don't we have a girls trip meets Below Deck? I mean, it's a great idea. I think my friend Abby, who was on this podcast, Abby Vonides, I think that she came up with that idea on TikTok, I want to say. But, you know, I think that it would be a nightmare from a production standpoint, honestly. But I do think it would be an incredible experiment. And like, even if they just did like one charter group of all housewives on Below Deck for a couple episodes, like, why not? It could also be like a bottle episode within a season of Girls Trip where they spend like a full day and night or like two nights and a day on a boat before going back to their vacation home and continuing that season. I don't know. There's a way to do it where it's not like a full season. Like, I think that would be like a monstrous undertaking, but it could be like a little like bottle episode moment. Like, it'd be fun. Peter on Instagram asks, what is the Roni tea? So unfortunately, I don't have much Roni insider tea, though when I was at Watch What Happens Live the other week during the pre-show Q&A with Andy, where you can ask him any question you want, it's not filmed. I asked him if Jenna Lyons would be coming back, and he said he was very positive about the prospect. And then it was reported on a fan page, I think at the end of last week, that they're all returning with like two new people or something, which I'm pleasantly surprised about. Like, I kind of figured that Jenna was a one and done from the beginning. She wanted the career and profile boost from being on the show. You know, she got profiles in The Cut, New York Times. She got all this good press. But I had been saying that even though I thought she wouldn't return, I thought she should return for one more season just to like lock in that newly revived relevance. Like, I think after one season, it could have slipped away again. So I'm happy if she has returned. I think that she's great. You know, even she could even work as like a friend, honestly. Like, I don't, she clearly is, again, hesitant to open up her own personal life. Like, I think it's kind of bullshit that she gets to protect a relationship completely from the cameras. I honestly, like, I think that that shouldn't be like allowed on these shows. Honestly, I think it's like kind of annoying because if you compare it to somebody who opens up their marriage completely to commentary and to kind of investigation and to people like sleuthing around, then everybody should have to do that. I don't think it's fair. I think it's kind of special treatment. But apparently, yeah, there will be two more other women on the cast. Brynn got a new apartment recently, which I presume will allow filming this time. And thank God, because I actually do think she was hindered a bit by not having as many personal scenes because she couldn't film at home last season. Also, just FYI, that rumor, quote unquote, about the old Roni women joining the show again with some of the new women was literally based off of a fake tweet. Like, that came out of an account that tweets fake things just to like get engagement. And it went so far. Like, people were asking Andy about it. It was people were asking Countess Luann about it. There was absolutely no truth to that ever. And there never was. Like, they would not abandon the reboot when they did it on such a grand scale with so much press and fanfare. They wouldn't abandon it that quickly. And ultimately, those women, like, I love them so much. Like, they are my fucking queens. But those women just don't have enough, like, collective personal storylines right now to bring to a full show and fill out a full season of Housewives at this point. Like, we saw that on the Roni Legacy Girls trip that we got. That was, people were so excited for ahead of time. I really enjoyed it. It definitely petered out towards the end. But honestly, like, that wasn't as well received as I thought it would be in the end. And I think that's because, like, I think we're all nostalgic for this old Roni, but I don't think it could be recreated at this point. That show started so strongly and then petered out. But, you know, I still would watch like 5 to 6 episodes of that once a year, but I just don't know if they have, I don't know if it would fill out 16 episodes of a Housewives season the same way that it used to. I just don't know. Max on Instagram wants to know about Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Season 2 premieres in a couple weeks. I don't have any tea, but I do think the season looks incredible. Like, if you're worried about not having enough Bravo to watch this spring, may I recommend binging Martha's Vineyard Season 1, which is only 8 episodes. It had high drama. It's a great cast with so much more potential. There's just like a lot to love about the show, and it sounds like they're stepping it up for this second season. I ran into Jordan and Preston seeing Ariana in Chicago on Broadway because we all went on the same night, and I will also see the cast later this week at the premiere party. The one thing I do know is that production reached out to me at my old company where I used to have another interview series, and I interviewed a lot of Bravo celebrities there, and I had interviewed Preston at the end of last season where we talked a lot about his friendship with Silas and Jasmine and their relationship, which was kind of like the central storyline of season 1. People like had a lot to say about it, and production got permission to use that clip from that interview, particularly the part where we talked about Silas and Jasmine on the show. So I don't know if it will actually make it, TBD on that. Them reaching out and wanting to include that tells me that, you know, the commentary and what people were saying about Jasmine and Silas's relationship will be a big conversation during season 2, because again, there was a lot of reaction to that, and I think rightfully so. But also, Silas won't be on the show this season because he was deployed. He's in the military, which I think will ultimately actually be a really good thing for Jasmine, because we'll be able to get to know her better outside of her marriage. She's such a lovely person in person, and I really think that people will be more open to her without Silas right there. And last season, they had just gotten married right before the season started. So I also hope that it's like with some more time spent in the marriage that Jasmine, I think, will be a little bit more relaxed. That's my hope and what I know about season 2 right now. But I think it looks really great. So I highly recommend it. Okay, so that is it for this listener mailbag. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any further questions that you want to submit for the next one, DM me, slide in. These are so fun to do, and I'm trying to do a couple more solo episodes sprinkled in with the great guests that I've been getting. Thank you for listening. Thank you for submitting your questions to everyone who submitted, and I will see you on Friday. Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.